Hello and welcome to the Gambler Betting Podcast. I'm SelectBet, I'm joined by Greg, and we're back after a wee break last week, Greg, for the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, Scottish Cup weekend last weekend, a pretty tricky card. I think the Scottish Cup went to plan, I think, in terms of who you'd expect to go through. I think the Kilmarnock-Aberdeen game was probably the only real surprise. I think many people thought Kilmarnock could go up there and spring a result, but no, Aberdeen turned up for once.
So semi-finals to look forward to. We're back in league action this weekend. We're delighted to be joined by McBookie's Paul Petrie, who has given up some time in what is usually the busiest week of the year for bookies. Paul, how's your Cheltenham Festival going so far, both from a bookie and from a punter's point of view?
Yeah, no, as you say, a busy week for us. Going pretty badly. First 2 days were bad for the bookies. Decent result today. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday, but the big one's always Gold Cup Day anyway. So if we could get some results on the Friday, then we'd normally come out ahead. But it's been tricky so far, but punters have been loving it, and that's obviously the main thing from your perspective.
I know this is a Scottish football podcast, but have you got any wee tips for us for Gold Cup Day?
Don't follow my tips on horse racing based on the bets so far this week.
Aye, it's been okay. It's been mixed for punters, I suppose. There's been a few favourites landed, but a few that have gone awry as well. So, fair enough. We'll stick to the football, I think. Greg, we are going to get stuck into the Premiership and all the leagues down below as well this weekend. Plenty to look forward to. We come into this weekend, Rangers are 2 points clear at the top of the table. The last round of Premiership fixtures, both Celtic and Rangers lost. And I was going to ask Paul if he can ever remember a weekend when both Celtic and Rangers lost at the same time.
Do you know what? I put it up on Twitter because somebody did say it on the broadcast. I can't actually remember the exact weekend it was, but I think they might have said 2012 it might have been.
Right, wow.
85-1 double it paid, though, because I did look those prices up to see what the double paid, and it was 85-1, and we had one customer who had a pound on it.
No way. you must
Nobody
been...
was back in Motherwell, were they? Nobody was back in Motherwell at Ibrox, given the form that they've been in.
You get regular customers who will always stick small stakes on outsiders just in case they come in, whether it be to boast of their mates or just to hope that something unusual happens. So I didn't look at this customer's previous bets, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does the double against Celtic and Rangers every week.
You must have been rubbing your hands, Paul.
I mean, it was a great weekend all in, definitely. I mean, betting and play as well. Is always great when Celtic and Rangers are losing or they're trying to get back in the game. The Hearts Celtic one was obviously so many VAR situations in the game as well. So the fact that Celtic went down to 10 men, that makes it even worse because you're thinking they're going to get a result. They're down to 10 men. Their price is even more attractive, and people are backing them in play. So yeah, it was a good result for the bookies.
Yeah, but the comeback never happened, Greg, and we're as you were. Rangers are 2 points clear at the top of the table. Celtic kick us off this weekend, the first game we're going to have a look at, and it's your very own St Johnstone who are visiting Celtic Park on Saturday. Celtic were unconvincing against Livingston, the 4-2 win in the Scottish Cup last week, which followed that obvious defeat at Tynecastle the week before. I can't see much other than a Celtic win here, despite the fact that St Johnstone managed to go there early in the season and come away with a point.
Well, 25-1 for the away win. I'll give you 50-1 if you want. I don't see us doing much on Saturday. As you say, Celtic were pretty unconvincing in that win against Livingston in the Scottish Cup. In fact, Livingston scoring 2 goals was a massive shock, especially on the handicaps, and one of your favourites to win 2-0. Not a market that I can advocate. But 1-10 for Celtic. This should be a routine win. And they've got the opportunity here to put a bit of pressure here on Rangers, get back to the top of the league by a point with Rangers playing Dundee on Sunday. Our record against Celtics, like a lot of clubs, it's absolutely awful. Any guesses the last time you won there?
At Celtic Park.
How many games since you last won, sorry?
Well, you're easily in double figures. It's whether you're into the 20s or not.
28.
Right.
The last 28 matches have been 24 Celtic wins. and four draws. You have to go back to May 2016 for the last time that we've beaten Celtic. And you have to go back to October 2015 for the last time we've beaten Celtic at Celtic Park. That was a Danny Swanson perler, it was. So it's some time ago now. Don't hold much hope for us at all. We'll try and keep it tight. Obviously, we're in a bit of a battle at the moment with Aberdeen and Ross County for that last playoff spot. And at the moment, it looks like it's going to be those C clubs battling it out in terms of who finishes 11th. Livingston look doomed, but we'll speak about them shortly. I guess in terms of angles, really difficult to find anything in this match. Over 2.5 goals is just 2-5. I think for me, more than happy to get back on Celtic corners here in the first half. They're 4-9 to hit four corners in the first half. And I guess that's probably best part of a double or a treble. But other than that, for me, it's probably no better.
Yeah, that 0-0 draw, Greg, and I know that probably helped Celtic's tally, but Celtic hit 19 corners that day. I think that was back in August. So yeah, certainly a corners angle could be the way to play it. Bet365 only go to 18 corners, which is 22-1. So if anybody fancies a repeat, that's the kind of odds that you're probably looking at. Paul, apart from those people who are on the St Johnson Dundee double this weekend.
Just actually looked that up. It pays 220-1 this weekend.
There you go. Lovely. I guess you'll still take plenty of money on Celtic, even at those short prices.
Yeah, they'll be in the cornerstone of punters' accas. Obviously, the longer it takes for them to score a goal, then the more attractive the price will become. So people might be waiting to wait to in play before having their bets. But yeah, 1-10. Obviously, we've got our Coupon Buster cashback offer that's quite popular, and putting in short selections like Celtic at 1-10 always helps in that promotion.
Yeah, in terms of angle, anything jumping out at you in this game apart from probably the Celtic corners?
I don't look at corners. I'll leave that to Greg. I mean, this would definitely be a no bet for me in this particular one. Maybe looking at the cards, St Johnson players potentially to get booked, there might be some value in that, but I never like backing card markets when it's not on the TV. There seems to be less of an atmosphere. The referees feeling a bit less under pressure without the whole country watching them. So maybe wait to see what the team looks like before having a bet on that.
Yeah. So I'm guessing, Greg, it's going to be corners, Celtic corners in some aspect that you're going to be having a look at.
Yeah, I've not put anything up yet, but I'll share something on the channel. But it'll definitely be on Celtic to hit at least four first half corners.
Good oak. Greg, you promised us that you're going to talk about Livingston in a minute, which we will get to. I'm going to give Paul the first shot at this Hibs v Livingston game. Fascinating, kind of around that middle part of the table, Paul. We've got four games before the split. There's potentially maybe one place up for grabs. St Mirren Kilmarnock are 5 points clear of Dundee. We've got Hibs at the weekend. They are home to Livingston, and if they've got ambitions of finishing in the top six, these are the kind of games that they're going to have to win.
Yeah, well, what was really interesting, obviously, a story broke the other night that Livingston got a sickness bug through their camp at the cancelled training. So far, it's had no impact on the odds, I've noticed. Livingston started the week around the 4-1 shot, 5-1 shot. They're still around that price. Hibs 1-2 to win the game. Sure, it'll be popular in the ACCAs and in the singles for that particular one. But I think, as I say, I'm surprised that there's not been a bigger movement. Obviously, it's happened earlier on in the week, so they've maybe got a chance to get the players back. That might change come closer to kickoff once the squad's announced, if they find they're playing a few youths and what have you. But must-win game for both teams, really. As you say, Hibs to make the top six and Livingston if they are going to make out that bottom spot. But I mean, Hibs losing another late goal. I think if all the goals that Hibs have conceded late, if they'd have picked up the 3 points in those games, I think they'd be quite safe in the top six. Yeah. So that's one thing that they'll be keen to stop doing. But I can't see anything other than a Hibs victory here.
Yeah, Greg, Hibs unbeaten in five now, drawn three, lost two, and as Paul said, they conceded that 98th minute equaliser at Ross County last night, which would have been a sore one. We often advocate not backing Hibs at odds on. They are 1-2 on Saturday. Greg, does that not give you the fear?
No. It's a podcast trope that we don't back Hibs at odds on, and it has been now since we started the podcast nearly 5 years ago. However, I do think 8-15, 1-2, Hibs should be backed. They have to be backed. Without a sickness bug running amok in the Livingston camp, I still expect Hibs to go off here, 1-3, maybe even shorter, come kickoff. But I think the 1-2 is very fair. And Hibs can probably feel a bit aggrieved with last night's late drama at Dingwall. 90th minute goal, as you said, but it was quite controversial in the fact that Ross County got a throw-in that they should never have got. And they've literally scored from that throw-in through the ball at the park and scored. So slipping back into the bottom six, but they've got the opportunity here to move back into the top six with Dundee playing on Sunday. Livingston, for me, are now gone. 7 points adrift, 8 points really, if you factor in goal difference, which is obviously fantastic news for our 8-1 Ant Post on Libby to finish bottom and 5-2 to finish in the bottom two. When you look at Livingston's form, it is proper relegation form. One win in 21 is relegation form of the highest order. They've collected 1 point from their last 11 away matches. And Hibs have been playing pretty well. They performed well against Rangers in the Cup until they got a couple of men sent off. Performed well at Tynecastle. They beat Dundee quite convincingly. And obviously they probably should have won last night. So more than happy to get on Hibs here at 8-15. And that formulates part of a double for me.
And Livingston's sole win in 15 away games is that?
Hibs.
Easter Road 3-2 earlier in the season. So all I'm saying is don't say you weren't warned.
No, I'm quite comfortable. Hibs to win.
Paul, we've got Kilmarnock v St Mirren. It's 4th v 5th, and I guess this is a straight battle to see who finishes 4th. St Mirren a point ahead of Kilmarnock at the moment, but there's been little between the sides so far this season. They drew at Rugby Park and Kilmarnock won at St Mirren. How are you tackling this one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've obviously got our own weekly podcast, etc. And I know Mark really fancies Kilmarnock to win this game. They've obviously put in a terrible performance against Aberdeen in the Cup. So I'd imagine Derek McInnes will be keen to finish in that fourth place. I know he was asked before what he'd prefer, a Cup win or fourth place. He's left the fourth place now, and I think he'll be making sure his players are working overtime to make sure that they get that. St Mirren had a great start to the season, hit a bit of a bad spell, got a couple of good results over the last month or so, but 5-2 probably does represent a bit of value for them. Quite a big price considering they're so close to each other in the league. Obviously, Kelly's home form helping with that price. But yeah, Mark fancies Kilmarnock. Just looking at that price, I think St Mirren are just getting a little bit too big, and I'd probably back them.
Yeah, Greg, a bit of value at 5-2 in St Mirren.
11-4 in places for St Mirren, which absolutely is a value bet. Kilmarnock 23-20. A few injuries for Kilmarnock. Matt Kennedy's injured. Kevin Van Veen's potentially injured as well. Probably a no bet for me, but I don't think I could be backing Killy at that price. I know they're at home and they're having a fantastic season, but St Mirren are only a point behind them. There's over 2,000 St Mirren fans making the short trip down to Rugby Park on Saturday. I think St Mirren's away form probably worries you a little bit. Just two wins in 12 away in the last 12. Although those two wins were 3-0 at Aberdeen and 3-0 at Hibs. Or I thought it was 3-2 at Hibs. So, sorry, 3-0 at Hibs. I just think this match is best left alone. It's not a match that generates many goals. I think only two of the last 13 games have seen over 2.5 goals in this fixture. So I think it'll be a very tight game. One goal win it, but it's a no bet for me.
Yeah, no, next game kind of feels a wee bit like no bet for me. It's Motherwell against Aberdeen. Motherwell with that fantastic result at Ibrox, which kind of came out of nowhere a wee bit. They host Aberdeen this weekend. Just an absolutely catastrophic season for Aberdeen so far, Greg.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's been well publicised now, and they've been taking flak right, left and centre, and rightly so. I think Dave Cormack's probably got a lot to answer for. Obviously, they got that great win last weekend against Kilmarnock in the Cup. And seconds later, Neil Warnock announces he's leaving. So again, even another PR disaster for Aberdeen. Let them enjoy the win, but it was all about Neil Warnock leaving. And they've gone to Dundee last night and were pretty much outplayed. I think their first shot and goal was a team header in the 90th minute. Dundee well worthy their win last night. Dundee probably should have won by two or three goals last night. And to say Aberdeen fans are not in a good place would be an understatement. And it's hard to have any case for them here away to Motherwell, who have really kind of kicked on a little bit. 8 points now from safe from the relegation playoff spot. So you'd have to say at this stage of the season, Motherwell are pretty much safe. Certainly safe from going down if automatically. And an 8-point gap to Ross County look more than safe there as well. But as I say, Aberdeen toothless against Dundee. And you'd have to be mental to back Aberdeen here at 11-5. Motherwell 7-5. Again, it's a really tricky card this weekend. It was a tricky card last weekend. It's another tricky card this weekend. Obviously, we've got, between 8 and 10 games left in each of the leagues. There'll be a lot of good cards to come. So I think this weekend's probably a sensible stakes and probably keeping stakes low this weekend. It's quite a difficult card. And these matches, i.e. Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Motherwell, Aberdeen, probably reflect that. But for me, in this match, probably a corners angle. Motherwell racking up some decent numbers. Aberdeen conceding plenty on the road, but yeah, nothing really jumping out here. What I would say is this match, though, does generate a lot of goals. 29 goals now in the last 7 matches. The last 7 games have all seen both teams to score. We've had a 3-3, a 4-2, and a 3-1 in the last 3 matches as well. So possibly goals, but yeah, nothing jumping out here at all.
Yeah, Paul, Greg talks about Motherwell almost being safe. I'm actually looking at them potentially gate crashing the top 6. They've obviously got Aberdeen this weekend and they've still got Dundee and Hibernian to play before they split.
Yeah, we were asked for a price just last week on Motherwell to make the top 6. I think we quoted 6-1 and other firms were as big as 10-1. So certainly still got a chance, obviously. People are now asking us for a price on Aberdeen to be relegated, not even to finish in the bottom two, but actually to go down. We'll wait until the top six is sorted and bottom six is sorted before we get that mark up, and it will be one that we have. Obviously, we've had the disaster with the next Aberdeen manager, the fact that we pay out on the manager to get 10 games, and Neil Warnock didn't even get 10 games. So now, anyone who's had a bet in the previous market, if one of them then gets the next manager's job, we'll have to pay out on that as well. So paying out on two potential candidates for that next Aberdeen manager market, which just shows you the perils of those particular markets. Really, really annoying. We're 13-10, Motherwell 2-1 Aberdeen. I mean, it's a real tricky game. I know what Greg's saying, you couldn't really be back in Aberdeen at those prices. That's probably a game where I wouldn't get involved in.
I've just seen even money for a Aberdeen scarf to be thrown on the pitch. So worth taking on.
I was having a quick look on the McBookie site there, Paul. I take it you've not got a market on the next Aberdeen manager at the moment.
No, well, obviously, the fact that when Warnock left, we just assumed that they'd have somebody lined up, and it still actually makes no sense.
Yeah.
Why he has left if they've not got somebody lined up. And I know they're now saying that they look to make an appointment in the international break, but that's 2 games that Warnock could have easily continued to manage with. So something's not right behind the scenes, whether he just didn't fancy it. I mean, someone told me that the players had just said, look, we're not happy with him as manager. He did throw a lot of them under the bus in terms of some of his interviews. So Perhaps they just thought it wasn't worthwhile keeping them in charge when they knew that they were planning on making an appointment in a national break, even though they didn't have somebody lined up. But we've gave it a miss purely because it does look like they have a shortlist and there are people that they've got lined up for interviews. So makes it difficult to have a market because you're just suspending it all the time because the first person goes in for an interview and there's a gamble on them, so you think he's got it, then another person's gambled on, then another person's gambled on. So as soon as we know a shortlist has happened and there's an interview process underway, we normally suspend those markets anyway.
Yeah. Who's your next biggest liability on it from the previous book?
I think it was Neil Lennon, actually. And again, people have said that he is in line to get the job, but reading all the forums and what have you, I mean, the Aberdeen fans wouldn't be happy with that. So, I mean, really, they should be looking at getting a new chairman rather than rather than a new manager, because the amount of appointments that they've got wrong, you just think how many more opportunities that can you get? And also, the higher the guy is, the new chief executive, well, surely it should be his job to pick the manager. But instead, they're hiring a consultancy to decide who the next manager is going to be, or what sort of football and format
structure
going to have. The structure, yeah. But I mean, it should be pretty easy to get a manager for Aberdeen, because they're such a big club. They've got such good resources. I mean, it's just crazy that they keep on getting the decision so wrong.
Yeah. Could certainly do a strong Aberdeen. Right, Greg?
No.
Okay. Let's have a look at Ross County v Hearts. County are 3-1. Hearts, not a bad price, I don't think, at 10-11. Just looking at County's kind of games before they split, they face Hearts on Saturday. They're away to Aberdeen, they're away to Kilmarnock, and then they're at home to Rangers. I'm not sure where they're going to be picking up points, apart from possibly at Aberdeen, Greg.
Yeah, it's a tough run of games for Ross County. They'll be pleased to have Danda back, who got that equaliser last night. Interestingly, Hearts are the same price on Saturday as Hibs were last night, which I think is really interesting.
Yep, good spot.
Hibs ended up going off 10-11 last night from about 21-20. So to get Hearts at the same price as Hibs, I think it's a decent price. And another podcast trope, over the years, we've really laid into Hearts and their abysmal away record. Mm-hmm. Not this season, though. They've been sensational on the road, Hearts, this season. I think normally Hearts average maybe 4 or 5 wins away from home a season, which is pretty grim. And it's been that case as long as I can remember. But they've already racked up 9 away wins this season, Hearts, which is the reason why they're probably sitting very pretty in third. Hard to back against them, I think, in this match. Although Ross County have improved of late. They obviously picked up that win against Livingston and draws at home to St Mirren and Hibs. Have pushed them a bit clearer of Livingston, and they can now kind of focus on trying to catch Aberdeen and St Johnstone. So should be a decent game, this. Over 2.5 goals is 19-20, so could see goals in this match. I think both teams to score has landed in 10 of the last 13 games at Dingwall between these two sides. So should be a game of goals, and I think the Hearts price is pretty fair.
Yeah, I'm guessing, Paul, you've got Hearts at 5-6. I'm guessing they'll be quite popular on the Accas this weekend as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it wasn't a great performance against Morton in the Cup, but they got the job done. Great result against Celtic. 5-6. I mean, I think that's a cracking price. There's been times where I've thought, oh, I wouldn't, not too confident back in Hearts. But, I mean, here you go. You've got now, beginning of the season, obviously they had the issues with the joint managers, and then Stephen Naismith was under pressure. Mm-hmm. Now, they're wondering when Stephen Naismith will move on to a better job, which shows the change in fortune for Hearts over the last couple of months. But yeah, I think Hearts at 5-6 look a cracking bet.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how Hearts finish the season. They're kind of stuck in a wee bit of no man's land, Greg. They're 13 points behind Celtic, but they're 13 points ahead of St Mirren. Third place looks kind of tied up. And I guess from Stephen Naismith's point of view, it'll just be a case of trying to finish the league as strongly as possible. And see where they end up.
Yeah, I would say so. You say it's a massive gap back down to St Mirren in fourth, and obviously they're miles behind the top two. But they've got a Scottish Cup semi-final to look forward to against Rangers, so that'll keep them ticking on. As you say, there's only, 4 games left before the split, but I'm sure they'll be keen to finish the season off well. And if they continue their away form, there's a good chance they'll do that.
Yeah, and I think at 10-11, I don't think they'll go off at 10-11 on Saturday, do you?
No, and I guess something I probably preach and bang the drum a lot about, but most of my Scottish Premiership bets, in terms of my main bets, are posted on Sunday, Monday, as soon as prices come out. You'll start to see prices shorten as your weekend punters start putting their bets on kind of Friday, Saturday. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd imagine Hearts will go off 4-5 on Saturday, and Hibs as well will go off probably 1-3. So just get your bets on early.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Lawrence Shankland. He's even money to score. He obviously didn't score against Morton, but he'll be popular as well this weekend, I would imagine. Moving on to Sunday, we've got Rangers, who, as you say, Greg, might be second in the table by the time they play Dundee on Sunday. Obviously, they were beaten by by Motherwell. They came through what was a relatively controversial cup win against nine-man Hibs, and then just tonight they've lost 1-0 to Benfica, which has put them out of Europe. So, yeah, I'm not saying that they're running out of steam by any stretch of the imagination, but they'll be, again, need to pick themselves up after a European exit.
Yeah, they'll need to. Obviously, there could be a European hangover. Who knows? The disappointment of losing 1-0 tonight to Benfica. And they're up against a Dundee side who can be pretty pleased with how the season's gone. I do think it's a two-way battle between Dundee and Hibs for that last top six place. Obviously, this weekend, the fixtures benefit Hibs in terms of you're expecting them to pick up 3 points at home to Livingston, and you're expecting Rangers to do a job at Dens. So it could be advantage Hibs come kind of mid-afternoon Sunday. But Dundee 17-2 for this match. I think Dundee will rack up some corners here. They are 5-6 to hit four. They got another six last night against Aberdeen. Not much of a price in Rangers at 1-3. It does put me off a little bit, Rangers, in terms of the fact that they have played tonight in a really tough game against Benfica. So you'd expect them to get the job done, but there's not much of an angle here for me in this match. I think Dundee corners is a potential angle, but it's something I'll share in the channel at the weekend.
Yeah, Paul, Rangers won 5-0 at Dens earlier in the season. Dundee will be delighted with their performance, I would imagine, so far this season. Any chance of this being another banana skin for Rangers this weekend?
I mean, it's always tricky when teams in Europe have played on Thursday and then they're coming back to play on Sunday. Normally, the teams that are playing in Europe on the Sunday would actually have a 3 p.m. kickoff. Now, obviously, this game's live on telly, so it's a 12 p.m. kickoff. You'd like to think that the extra couple of hours rest, if it was a 3 p.m. kickoff, wouldn't make that too much of a difference. But we've had this conversation when I've been on previously. I never like to back a team that's played in the Europa League on a Thursday. I think there is always the danger of it. But Dundee haven't been great against Celtic or Rangers this season so far. As you say, 5-0 in the previous game. They were obviously hammered against Celtic a couple of weeks ago as well. So it'll be interesting to see who Rangers put out in their squad. They're suffering with a lot of injuries. Scott Wright made an appearance against Benfica, which was a bit of a shock. So They're clearly down to the bare bones in terms of their squad. So it'll be. I'd like to see the sort of starting 11 for Rangers.
Yeah.
Much will depend on Celtic getting the win. If Celtic don't get the win, then Rangers, we're expecting them to get the win, but Rangers will come into the game feeling slightly different if Celtic don't pick up all 3 points. But listen, 1-3 Sunday game, 12 o'clock. It's the start of all the punters' accas. So if we could get a result in this game, we'll be delighted.
Yeah, fingers crossed for you on that one, Paul. Yeah, so Greg, from your point of view, potentially corners for Dundee?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great opportunity for Dundee. They're back in the top six. It's a kind of free hit for them. And as Paul said, I'm not a massive fan either of backing sides after European games on Thursday night. So there's definitely an inroad here for Dundee, potentially. I'm not saying they'll win, but I think it'll be a decent match.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a quick run through of the Championship. We've got a Friday night game where Dundee United are away to Dunfermline. Dundee United just not quite able to shake off Raith Rovers. Greg, they just seem to be going blow for blow to the end of the season.
Yeah, they really are. That was a cracking win for Raith at Thistle on Tuesday. And as I think I put on Twitter on Tuesday afternoon, you were getting 2-1 on Raith, which in hindsight now is mind-boggling, really. Given the fact that Thistle have been dire for maybe the last month or so. Yeah. That's now 7 or 8 games without a win for Thistle, and you're getting a side fighting for the league at 2-1 away from home. So probably a missed opportunity for me in that respect. But yeah, going toe-to-toe, this one's really interesting this weekend. Dundee United away from home this season have been fantastic, in stark contrast obviously to their home form. They're very short at Dunfermline, but we were thinking Dunfermline were out the woods a little bit with their recent results, but they've then gone on another pretty disappointing run. They've lost the derby again to Raith.
5-0 now.
Yeah, I think they're going to get the keys to the city of Dunfermline Raith Rovers at the end of the season. It'll be a civic reception for them as well. But 8-13 for United. obviously it's very short, but you would expect them to get the job done. And what that then does, it moves them 4 points clear of Raith, who I think have got a very, very difficult game on Saturday away at Queen's Park.
Yeah, they have. Let's just move on to that game, Greg. Raith Rovers at 23-20-1 at Queen's Park. It's now just 2 defeats in 8 for Queen's Park since Callum Davidson took over. And those defeats have been against Dundee United. And I think it was fairly early on in Scott Brown's tenure, potentially, that they lost to Ayr United as well. So by no means a gimme for Raith Rovers this weekend.
No, and it goes back to the point I made at the start of the podcast about Bet365 getting things massively wrong. Partick Thistle were sitting third in the league. Queen's Park are a point off ninth. Yet you're only getting Raith Rovers at 23-20 on Saturday. But you're getting 2-1 from Thistle on Tuesday. Mm. So just keep an eye out. These mistakes are happening all the time. They've probably got this match placed up right, I would say. But the game on Tuesday was massively wrong. Dundee last night were 2-1 at home to Aberdeen. Again, massively wrong. East Fife at home to Dumbarton on Saturday were 2-1. Again, massively wrong. So just keep an eye out for these ones.
Yeah, Paul, you've got Queen's Park at 21-10, Raith Rovers at 11-10. It'd take a brave man to be back in Raith Rovers at, well, not necessarily at those kind of prices, just generally to win at Queen's Park this weekend, given the form that Callum Davidson's got them in.
I think, though, what's also interesting, though, is you've got Dundee United at 8-13 to beat Dunfermline, yet they're on the same points as Queen's Park, and you've got Raith at 11-10 to beat Queen's Park. So I think it not only it's the bookies getting potentially it wrong, but I think obviously the data men are obviously getting things wrong as well. If as such, we're obviously Dundee United are just so popular with the Asian market because they're perceived as being so much better than what the results have potentially been getting. So I think there could be some value in Raith at 11-10 if you're basing it on Dundee United's price. And again, Raith Rovers will still be kicking themselves over throwing away that 2-goal lead against Arbroath a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that would have had a massive bearing on the title bet, and had they managed to hold on to that victory. But after such a bad performance against Arbroath, they have ground out a couple of good results. I'm hoping they do win the game just purely because we want the title betting to go as far down the end of the season as possible. So you're right, I wouldn't necessarily be backing them because Callum Davidson has turned around Queen's Park really, really well. But I could see them getting a result because I think they have grounded them out over the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, it should be could be a kind of defining weekend in the Championship, potentially, depending on how things go. Let's have a look at Inverness v Ayr United, Greg. No game for Ayr United last weekend due to, I presume, Morton being in action in the Cup, which I assume they would have played against. They'd either have had time to dwell on the defeat at Dunfermline or just get themselves prepared for this trip to Inverness at the weekend.
Well, yeah, they certainly had enough time to get themselves together here. I think Scott Brown's done a good job so far, but the reason why they find themselves still really low in the table and in a relegation fight is because the clubs around them have all been improving as well. Inverness at home, though, it's pretty grim for Duncan Ferguson. It's not 1-8. They failed to score in 5 of their last 6 home games. Again, this is another match for me where I think the prices are a bit wrong. United were 11-5 to win this. Inverness 23-20. I would rather be on Ayr than I would be Inverness anyway at those prices. But I think for me, Ayr can go up there, and double chance is 4-6. So the Ayr win or the Ayr draw at 4-6, I don't think it's the worst of prices.
Yeah, just looking at the Inverness's recent form. Again, it depends how, if you're half class full, you are. I've got them as being unbeaten in 5, although they've won 1 and drawn 4. But in amongst that run, Paul, they ended Morton's terrific run of form as well. So, it'll be an interesting one down at the bottom, just 1 point separating the two sides.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree with Greg. I think these are, as I've said before, these are the matches where you're looking at and thinking, right, who might be the value? And I think an extra week with Scott Brown working with the team, the new signings that he's been able to bring on loan, I think that'll give them a chance to pick up all 3 points. And at 2-1, I think they represent the value. I don't know whether the off-field problems that Inverness will have at the moment with the stadium, etc., might start dripping down to the players. they're obviously looks like they're safe from the bottom two, probably a little bit too far out of the place to get into the playoffs. So yeah, I certainly think there's the value there.
One game I'm kind of drawn to, Greg, is it for Hill, Partick Thistle against Morton, just 3 points between the sides. A win for Morton would potentially take them level on points and goal difference with Partick Thistle. Neither side playing particularly well at the moment, but I thought the goals market might be quite interesting in this one.
Well, I thought that as well against Raith Rovers. And it was a drab 1-0 win for Raith. I did look at this match first thing kind of Monday morning, and I had Thistle marked out as a potential bet for this weekend. At that point, they were 4-5. They've played Raith. I don't think they played that well. They've lost the match. They've now gone 8 games without a win, and they're now 23-20. So the Partick Thistle price has improved. It's backable at that price, but it's hard to back a team who haven't won an 8, aren't playing well, can see plenty of goals, and Morton, as we know, are having a really good season, and to your point, can go above Thistle or joint in points with them as well. So for me, I'm leaving this one alone now, but I get where you're coming from in terms of goals. I just think I've probably been put off by that kind of performance and result against Raith on Tuesday, plus Thistle aren't in great form at all at the moment.
Yeah, it was 4-5 for over 2.5 goals, and I guess my go-to every weekend is to see if Partick Thistle are at home. I think, Paul, potentially they're still the most entertaining team in Scotland in terms of goals scored in games that they've played.
I think that was amazing. I think I read on Twitter that they haven't won since January or something, or yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they hadn't won since January and they're still in third position. They hadn't moved position from January and yet they hadn't even won a game. Just at a totally amazing start, which just shows you, I mean, that those teams are, Dundee United and Raith are really the only ones that are putting in a good title bid, but all the other teams around them, I mean,
every club's gone through a terrible run, haven't they? Every club in that division below the top two has gone on a run of 8, 9, 10 games without a win.
Yeah.
Hence why we've seen new managers at Inverness, we've seen new managers at Queen's Park, we've seen new managers at Ayr United. It's just been a shambles of a league in terms of teams putting a run together. And yeah, they're still in third, but I think their place in third is in real jeopardy here.
Yeah.
And Morton 2-1, I just wouldn't want to be on Thistle at 23-20 given their current form.
Yeah, I think it tells its own story. From third to ninth, we've got 7 teams with 8 games to go, and there's only 9 points separating them. So anything could happen between now and the end of the season and the championship.
And I think that the other thing that I was reading as well, which, listen, it's not really a complaint because the rules are there and everybody knows it, but how far either Dundee United or Raith will finish above the team in third, yet will obviously still the potential of losing to them in the playoffs, which so often
tough.
Happens. That team that finishes second,
yep,
they're obviously depressed because they've been so close to winning the title. And then the team that finishes either third or fourth has that extra game where they could pick up a bit of momentum. So
it's funny you say that, Paul. In Serie B, they do a points system where if you are, I think, third in the league, if you're so many points clear of fourth place, you go up automatically.
Whoa.
And if you're not, you then go into a playoff. So it's very interesting.
Imagine bringing that in here, Greg.
Oh, it'd be sensational. let's campaign for it.
That sounds...
But yeah, no,
that would be fantastic.
I would encourage anyone to have a quick look at the Serie B promotion rules. And I found this out last season that, yeah, depending on how far ahead you are, the team below you will dictate whether or not you go up automatically or you go into a playoff.
That actually seems quite fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's too logical and sensible for us.
Well, but of course, the whole idea that the reason the playoffs were introduced into Scotland was to have a bit of excitement and have something still to play for. I mean, under that guise, then all the other teams behind Raith would probably then still have, that'd be maybe 7 teams with none to play for anymore in the championship.
That's
so
true.
And indeed, Hamilton might be so. I don't think.
Well, I think there would still be playoffs, but only depending on how many teams would go up.
Oh, right. I get you.
It's not as if there's no playoffs at all. It's just, I think it's the team that finishes third. If they're like 5 points ahead of the team in fourth, they go up automatically, and there's only another couple of teams left in the playoffs, if that makes sense. That's a podcast for next week.
Indeed it is.
When we do the Serie B podcast, we'll cover that. Just one game in the Championship we've not covered. Any takers for Airdrie via Arbroath?
No, I think Airdrie at 11 to 20 is a bit short. I know Arbroath are looking pretty doomed at the moment. Well, they are doomed, aren't they? They're going to go down. They're 8 points behind a minus 31 goal difference. So there's no doubt in my mind that Arbroath are already preparing for life in League One, but at 1-2 for Airdrie, it's a bit short.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's understandable why they are so short, but yes, a bit best left alone.
Okay, let's have a look at League One. Falkirk are now 17 points clear. To be fair to Falkirk, Greg, unlike Stenhousemuir, they are not letting up. And I suppose the point is that Falkirk remain unbeaten. And as long as they are unbeaten, then they potentially got that carrot to aim for towards the end of the season, is to go through the season undefeated.
Yeah, I think they do, don't they? And all credit to Falkirk, because they've been in League One for five seasons now, very, very long time. And they're going to come up as champions into the Championship. And to your point, yeah, unbeaten now to mid-March, and they're still unbeaten. You'd have to say there's every chance they'll go the season unbeaten. I can't really see many sides, any sides taking points off them in terms of beating them. So there might be a few draws here and there. But that said, there's lots of games still to be played. And I think they can win the league at Montrose, I think. Not this week, but next week, potentially.
I was just about to ask. I'm going to ask Paul if he's paid out on Falkirk already.
No, we don't do that. We don't do that. We've laid Falkirk to remain unbeaten, though, actually.
Right.
excuse me. And actually, the weekend that the person asked for the price was the weekend that they were 2-0 down against Edinburgh City. Mm. So I thought, goodness me, the poor customer's only going to get one game of them being unbeaten. And of course, that controversial penalty and stoppage time managed to keep their unbeaten run going. So, I mean, I think they probably will go unbeaten now. I thought that perhaps once they had the title wrapped up, mm-hmm. then they may take their foot off the gas. But the fact that none of the other teams in there are really producing consistency, and probably by then the other playoff places will be decided as well. So
those two sides were toe-to-toe, weren't they? Falkirk and Hamilton. Probably by the end of January,
yeah.
They were toe to toe. It's now a 17 point difference now, which is incredible, really, because Hamilton did have a pretty good season up until the last couple of months.
Mm, yeah, they were hanging on, weren't they? I mean, I guess from a punter's point of view, the hope is that unbeaten run keeps Falkirk honest until the end of the season. They're 1-3 to win at Queen of the South on Saturday, Greg.
Well, I think he's a very lucky man. He's still on a job, Marvin Bartley.
The Hornet's Nest. That feels like another trope of the podcast.
Well, for them to be sitting eighth place and 30 points, 42 points behind Falkirk, they lost the I don't know what the derby's called, but they lost the derby against Annan last week, and I think Queen and the South fans are far from happy with how things are going at the moment with Marvin Bartley in eighth place, only 4 points ahead of Annan. They've given Annan a glimper. Hope that they can avoid that relegation playoff spot, but I don't see them causing Falkirk too many problems. I think Falkirk are too good, but 1-3 over was very, very short.
Speaking of Annan, you've got them in a double. Their game in a double. They're away to Montrose at the weekend, and I guess it's probably Montrose's goal scoring form that they're in that's maybe drawing you to the over 2.5 goals here.
Yeah, this is a no thrills one really, and it's down to both sides really. Looking at Montrose, they're now sitting third. They're in a great run of form at the moment, Montrose. Other than that defeat to Falkirk, they've scored 3-4, 3-4, and 4. So they've scored 18 goals in their last six matches. Gary Webster scored 7 goals in his last 7 games. Record signing from Elgin and Kane Hester's also chipping him with goals again. He's got 13 for the season. So there's absolutely no shortage of firepower in this Montrose side. And they've beaten some pretty decent sides as well recently, including that 4-3 win against kind of fellow promotion hopefuls Alloa, and they play an Annan side who I think they've seen both teams to score now land in 10 of their last 11 matches, and Annan do score goals, Tom Goss their main threat, but for Annan they've only kept one clean sheet in 21 matches, So I don't think it'd be anything to probably work out. There's a good chance we'll see goals in this match. And that formulates part of my double, which is Hibs to win and Montrose Vianen over 2.5 goals, which pays a shade below 6-4.
Yeah, sounds good. Anything jumping out for you in League One, Paul?
I'd just like the look of Montrose 8-11 in a single in that league this weekend. I mean, you Kelty Hearts potentially, Cove Rangers 70-75 to beat them. Kelty, I've got nothing to play for anymore. So they've had a couple of bad results in recent weeks, but Cove haven't exactly been firing around either. But they're now out of the playoffs, so they'll need to start picking up some wins if they want to get back into the playoffs. So that might be a bit of value.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about the Edinburgh City. I'd kind of said that Bet365 hadn't even priced Edinburgh City game up this weekend. And I guess it must be quite difficult to price those games up because I'm seeing wild prices week on week.
Yeah, I mean, we actually got a rumour last week that Hamilton were struggling with a bug, maybe the same one that Livingston got. And then you looked to see who they were playing and it was Edinburgh City. So you thought, oh, well, how's that game going to go? I mean, obviously, when the rumours first started about Edinburgh City, I mean, that was a right killer for us. I mean, big gamble on it was Stirling that weekend. We're wondering what was going on.
3-1 it finished.
Pardon?
It finished 3-1, didn't it? I think they took the lead.
Yeah, we thought this was going to be great. We're going to get a result here. But Stirling managed to get a goal, two goals actually. So they brought in all the bets because people were backing them to win. Went at half time as well. So, I mean, we've had two bad results this season on the gambles. One of them was Stirling against Edinburgh, and the other one was East Kilbride against Stirling, ironically enough. So, Stirling have been involved in both our big losing games this season. But now, listen, Edinburgh City have been double figure priced since the squad issues came about. It was just amazing that they were 2-0 up against Falkirk that week. And you were just thinking, if they could manage to pull this off, it would just be the biggest shock in the SPFL in terms of the prices. I think they were 35-1, 40-1.
Some guys were 50-1 some places as well, I think. 50-1, I said 55-1 in some places potentially.
I haven't said that, Paul. Clyde's 6-1 against Stenhouse Muir must be right up there.
Well, I mean, obviously that if you were better on the correct score, Paul, yeah, definitely. But in terms of the actual match prices, then it was the biggest one. But yeah, that was one big shock. I mean, we got asked the question: was there anything dodgy in that? Has there been any dodgy bets on it? But there wasn't. There was only literally one bet on Clyde on that particular weekend.
Yeah, we've said before on the podcast that we're kind of convinced that Edinburgh are going to win between now and the end of the season at a decent price. We just don't know when. If we knew
that'll be against Falkirk next time they play.
I look forward to your price on that.
Double figure price and ruining the unbeaten run for Falkirk. Perfect.
Okay, let's have a look at League Two before we wrap up. In my notes I've got it's a bin fire of a league now, especially the way Stenhouse Muir are ending the season. Paul, just 2 wins and 6, 2-0 with Spartans last time out. They're 6-5 to win at a 4 for Athletic, who are unbeaten in 9 currently.
Yeah, but do you know what? That wasn't a bad result against Spartans. Obviously, you're still expecting them to win because they're at home, but the Spartans are up there challenging at the top of the top of the table as well. So, one of their nearest competitors for the title. So, to be able to get a point against them wasn't the worst result. Obviously, as well, on the back of that terrible result against Clyde, they were probably just happy to be getting things back under control. I think the fact that they're that far ahead, we're not betting on the title anymore. They need a couple of more defeats before we reopen that market. I mean, the second, third and fourth, there's nothing between them in terms of the points. So it'll be interesting to see who finishes in those positions because it is so tight there. I mean, already after their great victory against Stenhouse Muir, 6-4 for Clyde against Bonnie Rigg, that's been backed already this week. So, I mean, I know Ian McCall brought in a lot of loan players and, I mean, I back Clyde every week for the past 4 weeks, and guess what game I didn't back them in?
I mean, just unbelievable.
So 6-4, as I say, they've already been back this week, and again, Elgin City 23-10 against Stranraer. I know it's a long way to go, but their form has been good in the past couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, just looking at that, going back to the Forfar v Stenhouse Muir game, I was obviously intrigued by the fact that Forfar are unbeaten in 9, but then I looked a wee bit deeper. They've only won 3 out of 14 games at Station Park, Greg.
Yeah, it can be quite deceiving sometimes when you look at the stats at a glance.
Yep.
But you have to say, though, they are in decent enough shape, and given the way Stenhouse are playing, the 11-5 is probably quite a fair price on Forfar. I certainly wouldn't be beat back in Stenny, to be fair, in this match, given where they are in the league. One thing that's really interesting is it's 16th of March on Saturday, and in League 2 in Scotland, there's not a single side odds on, which just shows you this league this season, again, has been, for betting purposes, it's been really difficult, really, really difficult to get any sort of rhythm in League 2.
Yeah, and just back to Clyde, as Paul was saying there, Greg, we've kind of fancied Clyde and then decided no, they're doomed. Fancied them again this weekend. They are away to Bonnyrigg Rose. A win takes them within 3 points of Bonnyrigg at the bottom of the table.
Well, I laugh at Paul's 6-4 on Clyde because this is my main bet of the weekend, and we got 9-4 on Monday morning, which for me was a straight value bet straight away. Now, Bonnyrigg haven't won in 7 matches. They've only won once in their last 10, and I'm definitely not having Bonnyrigg as short as 13-10. That's what they were on Monday morning. It's a proper 6-pointer, this match. I think if Clyde were to lose this match, that may seal their fate in terms of finishing bottom. However, if they win, and they have to really get a result here, then for me, 9-4 is a ridiculous price for Clyde. As Paul said, they have put in a lot of lone players. They've got a little bit more form than Bonnyrigg. They've won 3 of their last 5. Obviously, that sensational 6-1 hammering away at Stenny. They've also beaten Elgin, and they travel here at 9-4. So at 6-4, probably wouldn't be that fussed. But again, always helps looking at the prices as soon as they come out. And 9-4, I think, is a cracking price for Clyde. And for me, I would much rather be on them than Bonnyrigg at 13-10. Plus, as well, Bonnyrigg's form isn't great.
Yeah, agreed. We've already covered one of your doubles, Greg. We've got the second leg of another double, and that is an East Fife's trip to Peterhead.
Yeah, I think Div's going to buy an East Fife strip after a Nathan Austin last-minute winner on Saturday at home to Dumbarton. Again, they were 2-1 to beat Dumbarton, and I think we pointed out that Dumbarton don't travel well. They had a really tough game away to Stranraer on the Tuesday night, and they lost that match 5-0. But I don't think East Fife went off at 2-1. They went off maybe 6-4, 5-4, actually. So I just think East Fife are in decent shape. Dick Campbell's had a bit of a, let's say, the best of starts there, but they are unbeaten in 4 or 5 games now. They're picking up wins. Really good win last weekend against Dumbarton. Won the up early doors, lost 2 quick fire goals, then had the character to come back and win 3-2. So I'm more than happy to get on East Fife just to score here in this match. And that's part of the double.
Yeah. Anything catching your eye in League 2, Paul?
Just as I said, Paul, Clyde at 6-4. Mm-hmm. I know, as sharp as Greg getting the early prices. And as I say, Elgin City, 23-10. It is a long distance, and I know sometimes that helps Stranraer. But Stranraer, second bottom on 30 points as well. Even money favourite seems a little bit short to me. So I'll take a punt on Elgin.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up with our tips for the weekend. If you can give us a wee recap, Greg, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so main bet of the weekend, we're starting League 2 this time. We're taking Clyde to beat Bonnyrigg at 9-4. And moving into the Premiership, I've got Hibs to beat Livingston, and that's doubled up with Montrose v Annan over 2.5 match goals, and that pays just above 7-5. And finally, I've got a double, which is Ayr United double chance at Inverness and East Fife to score, and that pays 13-10.
Good stuff. And Paul, best bets this weekend?
Yeah, best bets. I like to look at Hearts 5-6, Ayr 2-1, Montrose 8-11, and those two in League 2, Clyde at 6-4, and Elgin at 23-10.
Nice one. Now, don't forget, you can follow Greg on Twitter at Browning84, where you'll find all the details on how to join his private channel if you're not already a member. And, of course, if you're in Scotland and don't already have a McBookie account, then make sure you get along to McBookie.com, where there's a free, well, there's a bet 5, get 20 welcome offer. Is that correct, Paul? Available at the moment?
That's correct, yeah.
Yep. So make sure you get your account open at McBookie as well. There'll be no podcast next week due to the international break, but we'll be back before the end of the month when, Greg, the Norwegian season kicks off.
Yes, very exciting. It's hopefully going to be our biggest and best Norwegian season ever. Starts in a couple of weeks' time. Obviously, we've got David Weatherston on board, and we're just about to start booking flights to Oslo.
Yes, we are. can't wait for that podcast that weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. So David will keep us right on Norwegian football for the season ahead. So look forward to that. Make sure you don't miss, or I guess we'll be doing an anti-post podcast with David before everything kicks off at the end of the month. And that's us for this week.
Naked in the sauna and then jumping out into the snow, lads, is it?
Absolutely.
Yes, Paul,
no,
that's correct.
No comment. No comment whatsoever. But that's us for this week. Thank you very much for listening, and best of luck with the bets this weekend.